بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 55th session, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab رحمهم الله, the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhahullah. And tonight we will be taking hadith number 49, which is the next to the last hadith of the 50 hadith. Before we do that, though, we're going to take a quick look at some of the topics that we discussed in the previous session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 54. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 48. The main? Na'am, fadl. Okay, four actions or four characteristics. This hadith is mentioning four characteristics of the characteristics of hypocrisy. Na'am. Anybody else? Summarize this topic. Na'am.
Whoever possesses all four of them is a munafiq.
Whoever possesses one of them has one characteristic of hypocrisy. Now, so this hadith is actually, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is warning us against these characteristics or qualities of hypocrisy. Now,
also, this is ifaq and al-amri.
We're going to come to that, inshallah. We're going to come to that, inshallah. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi of the hadith? Anybody remember? The narrator of the hadith? Naam?
Abdul Amir ibn As.
Abdul ibn Amr ibn Al-As, radiyallahu anhuma. And the collection of hadith where it's found? Anybody? Imam Muslim and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahumullah. Question number three, list the four characteristics or qualities of the munafiq as mentioned in this hadith. One of them. Four qualities that are mentioned. Naam.
Whoever speaks and tells a lie.
Okay, the one who, when he speaks, he lies. Naam. Two.
When he makes promises, he breaks them.
When he makes a promise, he breaks it. Naam. Three. Okay, when he gets into an argument, he deviates from the truth and tries to support falsehood, yani with by deception or trickery or whatever. Naam. And the last characteristic? Anybody? Naam,
fadli. A pact or agreement or an oath.
Yani when he makes an agreement, a covenant, yani contract, he doesn't uphold it. He breaks it. When he makes an agreement, he breaks the agreement. Naam. Question number four. What is the intended meaning of munafiq in the first statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that there are four qualities, whoever has them, he is a munafiq? What is intended here by munafiq? Yani that this person is a munafiq. What is intended here? In brief. Now.
Whoever possesses the four characteristics, they fall into the category.
What is intended by hypocrite? Yes. What do we mean by a hypocrite? And what do we actually mean by this person is a hypocrite? Means that he's a kafir, he's out of Islam?
No.
What do we mean by hypocrite?
No.
We mean that, huh?
Yani,
hypocrisy in reference to one's actions, yani the actions of hypocrisy, not that that person is, yani, a munafiq whose hypocrisy is in the heart, and that person is hiding kufr and openly showing Islam. That's not what is intended here. What is intended here is that the person who has these qualities or characteristics, he has the qualities or characteristics, the actions of hypocrisy. That's what's intended. It's very, very important to distinguish. Question number five, mention briefly how the author explained the first quality of nifaq mentioned in this hadith. How has he explained, first of all, what is the first quality of nifaq mentioned in this hadith? First quality. When he speaks, he lies. So how has the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, how does he explain? What does he mean by that? And he, I mean, it's pretty clear, but he explained it. He said
that when he informs someone about something, he doesn't tell the truth, whether it's about himself or about someone.
Okay, when he's talking to somebody, when he's speaking to somebody, yani he's not telling the truth. He informs them about something in a way that is not its reality. Yani he tells them about something that is not the truth of the matter. Now,
he has no intention from the onset of telling the truth, as opposed to a person who forgot and didn't know or said something mistakenly.
Okay, a person who intentionally is telling other than the truth.
Yeah.
Not that they made a mistake, they forgot, or they got confused, but a person who intentionally, yani, is telling other than the truth. Yani, who's lying intentionally. Now, question number 6. Mention the harm or the wrong that is committed against the one who's telling the lie and the one to whom the lie is told. What is the harm? Yani, to the one who's telling the lie. Harm to himself. Naam.
If he continues on his path, he is written down as a liar with the law until he leaves it off.
Okay, that's true. That's from the hadith that the Shaykh mentions. But before that, he said that this person caused harm to himself because he now becomes described with this evil, yani, shameful, disgusting characteristic of being a liar. So that's how he harms himself. And of course, if he continues in that, then as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, he will become written with Allah as a liar. How does he harm the person who he's talking to? Who he's telling the lie to?
He harms them by
yani, leading them to believe, by tricking them, deceiving them to believe that what he's saying is the truth. He's leading them to believe that what he's saying is the truth, and he knows that it is other than that. Question number 7, what is the exception in which case a person would be excused? Yani, what is the exception for failing to keep a promise? What is the exception? Yani, for failing to keep a promise. Yani, the person who has a sign of hypocrisy, one of those signs is what? That when he makes a promise, he breaks it. So what is the exception to this? Where the person who failed to keep the promise would be excused. Now,
Now,
a person, he makes a promise with a firm resolve, sincere intent to keep the promise, but something happens, something occurs unexpectedly or out of his control, which prevents him from keeping the promise, in which case that person is ma'adhur. In which case that person is excused. Because they intended to keep the promise, but something out of their control, and it prevented them from doing it. Now, as opposed to the person who makes a promise, and his niyyah from the beginning is not to keep it. He doesn't intend from the beginning to keep that promise. And that is what this hadith is talking about. Question number 8, mention the brief definition of fujur, offered by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, when one quarrels or disputes. Yani, وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجْرَ. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he gave a very brief definition of what is fujur. Yani, that the person when he disputes, he does what? Naam.
That he deviates from the truth, and that he uses, not only that, but he uses deception and trickery to support his falsehood.
Naam. He deviates from the truth and uses deception or trickery to what? To refute the truth. Yani, to support his falsehood. To reject the truth, he uses deception and trickery. Question number 9, what does Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah say about Al-Ghadr, yani betraying of the covenant, the ahd or agreement? What does he say? Yani Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, what was the statement that he made about this? Yani betraying the agreements, yani violating agreements. Naam. He made two statements. One of them is part of the first one. Naam. Okay, but what did he say about that person, about this act of violating treaties, covenants, agreements, contracts? What did he say about that? Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab al-Hanbali.
You cannot break oath because of Allah's witness.
Okay, that's true. You cannot break oath because of Allah's witness, but he made a statement, very brief statement, one sentence. Naam.
That this is haram.
He said it's haram. He said to violate a covenant between a Muslim and anyone else. He said it's haram to do so. Even if, and that's the second part of the statement, Even if the person that he made the agreement with is a kafir. Even if that person is a kafir, it's haram to violate the agreement. You make a contract, an agreement, a covenant, and it's haram to violate that. Even if the person you made the agreement with is a kafir. The last point mentioned 4 of the 6 fawaid or benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. And especially I want to look at the first 2 benefits that he mentioned, and then the other 4, yani, are based on the hadith itself. First 2 things that he mentioned, now. Anybody? Yeah, you have one first? No.
That he gives the number of points that he is about to make.
Okay, the excellence of the teaching method or style of the teacher mentioning the number of the things that he's going to mention before he mentions the details of those things. So that the person who's listening is prepared, yani, for a certain number of things, and is, yani, will have a greater impact and effect on that person to be able to receive and to remember, yani, what he is going to be informed of. Second point that the Shaykh made, benefit from this hadith. Now, Abdul Wali.
The clarification of the person who has all of these characteristics, that this person is a munafiq, and that the one who possesses one of these characteristics, that this is just nifaq in actions only. But
Tayyip, one word missing from that statement. One word is from that statement. Yani, the clarification that the person who possesses these qualities is a munafiq. There's one word the Shaykh mentioned in there. Bayan khutura. Yani, the danger of a person possessing all of these characteristics. Yani, all of these characteristics of hypocrisy. The danger of a person possessing all of these characteristics. That's dangerous. A person has to be careful. One of them is a character of hypocrisy. A person who gathers all of them together, this is a dangerous situation. Okay, the other points that the Shaykh made is what? Yani, naam. Okay, the warning in this hadith, the benefit from it, is that in this hadith there's a warning against first and foremost, yani, lying when you speak, naam. And then a warning against, yani, breaking a promise when you make it, and a warning against, yani, committing al-fujur, when you have a quarrel or dispute with somebody. Yani, that means that you deviate from the truth, from that which is just and right, and try to support and defend and present falsehood as being the truth. And the last one, the warning against breaking the covenants, the agreements, the contracts that you make. Yani, the warning against this. Now, so these are some of the points that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, as I mentioned already, yani, we're going to be taking the 49th hadith from the 50 hadith that are from the collection of Al-Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, and those 8 hadith added by Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. I'm just going to make a very, very brief comment here, and I want to say more, but for the sake of time, I'm going to be brief and say that these last 2 hadith, if we didn't get any other hadith from this book, inshallah, yani, get these 2 hadith. And you dwell on these hadith, learn them well, understand them, and try to implement them in your life. This hadith here is of critical importance for a Muslim. Yani, the topic of at-tawakkul ala Allah. There's almost nothing more important than this. And some of the scholars, what they have said about it, show us that. And even though tonight, yani, the explanation is brief, but nonetheless, inshallah, maybe if we have some time, we'll bring some other points from any other discussion. So the hadith that we're taking tonight, again, is al-hadith at-tasi'u wal-arba'un, the 49th hadith of this collection, an Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, yani, from Umar ibn al-Khattab, yani, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the second Khalifa of the Muslims, may Allah be pleased with him. May Allah be pleased with him. He narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Law annakum." And here I'm reading. And there's one word here in the text from the mutun of the Talibul Ilm that's not in the book, and it's in some of the manuscripts and some of the books. Yani, other than the one that we are studying from at this particular point. But in any case, he said, "Law annakum kuntum." This word kuntum is not in our book, but in any case, it is verified in many of the manuscripts, handwritten manuscripts of this particular book. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Law annakum kuntum tawakkaluna ala Allahi haqqa tawakkulihi." Yani, if you all were putting your tawakkul, your trust, your reliance, your dependence upon Allah in the way that He deserves it. And to the extent that Allah is deserving that you trust in Him. Meaning that you trust in Allah completely, totally, absolutely, and in no one other than Him. Yani if you all were to put your trust in Allah, حَقَّ تَوَقُّلِهِ, in the way that He deserves it, لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ, then He would definitely have provided for you just as He provides for the birds. تَغْدُوا خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوهُ بِطَانًا, they go out in the beginning of the day with their stomachs empty, and they return in the end of the day with their stomachs full. رواه الإمام أحمد والترمذي والنسائي وابن ماجة وابن حبان في صحيحه والحاكم وقال الترمذي حسن صحيح. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Ahmed and in his Musnad, and the three Imams of the Kutub al-Sunan, al-Tirmidhi, al-Nasai, and Ibn Majah, and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, his book of, yani Sahih collection of Hadith, and Al-Hakam in his book Al-Mustadrak. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, says this Hadith is Hasan Sahih, and the scholars have explained that meaning differently, but in any case, yani the most apparent meaning is that, yani Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, when he says that, he means that this hadith came with different chains of narrative. Some of them are on the level of being hasan, and some of them sahih. So Allah knows best. So tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I'm going to do a little bit different than the last couple of weeks. I'm going to read the full explanation of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, hafidhullah, and it's relatively brief, just one page. And then I'm going to read some of the comments from Shaykh Abdul Rahman Ibn Salih Al-Dahish, hafidhullah. And then if there's some time, I'm going to read some very, very important points concerning this topic from other sources. So the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he divides this hadith, its explanation, into two points. The first point is his explanation of the hadith. Second point are the benefits that are derived from it. So the explanation of the hadith, he has made it as one point, and I myself have examined it, and I found that we could probably divide it into 5 points. So I'm going to try to break it down into 5 points so that each point is distinctly clear from the other points, so that it's easier to retain the meanings of all that he has mentioned in this full page of explaining this hadith. All right, so I'm going to mention it as 5 points, even though it's all, the Shaykh has mentioned it as one point. So the Shaykh, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says, number one, هذا الحديث, and this will be the first point of the 5 points, هذا الحديث أصل في التوكل على الله عز وجل مع الأخذ بالأسباب المشروعة. That this hadith is an asl, it's a foundation, a fundamental concerning the topic of التوكل على الله, putting one's trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, putting your trust in Allah, accompanied by utilizing the legislated means to achieve the goal, to bring some benefit or to repulse some harm. He said this hadith is an asl, meaning it is a fundamental source of knowledge, information, understanding of a tawakkul ala Allah, accompanied by utilizing the means to achieve the goal. And you're putting your trust in Allah to achieve something, to get some benefit or to repulse some harm. This hadith is a foundation in this affair, in this matter, in this discussion, in this topic. The tawakkul ala Allah, along with utilizing the means to achieve that goal. The second point. وَالْأَخْذُ بِهَا لَا يُنَافِي التَّوَكُّلُ, and utilizing the means, the legislated means, here the Shaykh, he said, al-asbab al-mashru'a, and here I should stop for a moment and just comment on this. Any meaning, al-asbab al-mashru'a means not the asbab al-muharrama, or al-asbab al-bida'iyya. Utilizing the legislated means that It's not permissible to utilize means that are haram or means that are innovative means. It's not permissible to utilize them. So here he's saying what? Utilizing the means of those means that Allah has allowed that are permissible to use to achieve a goal. And then he says, and this is the second point, that utilizing these legislated means is not contradictory to at-tawakkul. There's no contradiction between a person putting their trust in Allah and then doing something to achieve the goal, utilizing some means to achieve what they're trying to do. There's no contradiction between this. As some people try to imagine, if you put your trust in Allah, you don't need to do anything. Just trust in Allah, and Allah is going to take care of everything. As though there's a contradiction between the person really depending upon Allah and then going out and doing something to get done what they're trying to do. Yani, for example, and I'm not going to go into examples here because it's going to take time, but a person has a goal. They want to have children. And they say, I put my trust in Allah. And they just sit around at home and wait for children to come. They don't do anything. They don't go and get married. Like, how are you going to have children without getting married? Utilizing the means to have children, that is, getting into a lawful marriage, yani, is not contradictory to putting your trust in Allah. Yani, you utilize the means and you depend upon Allah to make the thing you're trying to achieve through those means bear fruit. The farmer plants the seeds and cultivates, tills the land. Those are the means. But he has to put his trust in Allah to make something come forth from the ground. Yani, I'm not depending upon the means. They can't guarantee anything. Allah is the one who makes it happen. So I utilize the means, but my heart is attached to Allah to bring yani something to fruition, to happen, to occur, whatever it is that we're trying to achieve. I'm going to leave it with that. The Shaykh is saying here, this is the second point, that utilizing the means is not contradictory to putting one's trust in Allah. And then he mentions several points of evidence to support this reality, that utilizing the means is not contradictory to putting one's trust in Allah. He says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the master of the people who put their trust in Allah. Sayyid al-Mutawakkilin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the master, the leader, the teacher, the example of those who put their trust in Allah. And when he entered Mecca, in the year of the conquest of Mecca, he had a helmet on his head. He was using a helmet. He didn't say, I put my trust in Allah, nobody's going to be able to hit me in the head. But he had a helmet. He put his trust in Allah and he utilized the means to protect himself from harm. And he had vests, or I don't know, coats of mail, armor in the battlefield. Even though Allah is sufficient to protect him. But Allah has commanded us and legislated for us that we utilize the means to bring about good or to prevent harm. And then we depend upon, trust in, and have faith that Allah is going to make those means work. Because if Allah doesn't make it work, it doesn't matter. You can have bulletproof vests, helmets, and all the rest of that stuff, and it can't protect you if Allah doesn't can he make those means effective. The Shaykh, he says, not only that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guided us. He himself has guided us. قَدْ أَرَشَدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَىٰ الْجَمْ بَيْنَ الْأَخْذِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ وَالْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Yani that Allah has guided us to the combination, to combining this act of combining between putting your trust in Allah and utilizing the means. He has told us we must do both of these things in the statement that's reported in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2664, in which he said, إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. إِحْرِسْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ. Yani be diligent and eager and go after that which benefits you. Make an effort to get to achieve that which will benefit you. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And seek help from Allah. Yani doing something to achieve that which will benefit you, that is the utilizing the means. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. That's putting your trust in Allah. And then ask for help from Allah to make something happen that you are striving for. Further he says, in this hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, in it also this meaning is contained. Al-jam bayn al-akhd al-asbab wa tawakkul ala Allah. And in this meaning of combining between utilizing the means and putting one's trust in Allah is also contained in this hadith under discussion, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Yani, in which the meaning of utilizing the means is indicated in what is mentioned about the birds. The meaning of utilizing the means is indicated in what is mentioned about the birds. لأنها تغدو خماصا أي خالية البطون لطلب الرزق وتروح بطانا أي ممتلئة البطون. Yani, this meaning of utilizing the means is contained in the description of the birds, in that it said that the Prophet ﷺ said they go out in the beginning of the day with their stomachs empty, seeking their provisions. They go out seeking their provisions, making an effort to find some food to eat. And they come back in the end of the day with their stomachs full. And this is a clear indication in this description of the birds, that even though they depend upon Allah, but they get out of the nest early in the morning and go out and search for food. And they come back having been provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but along with what? Accompanied by them making the effort, utilizing the means to achieve the goal. The third point that the Shaykh makes here, the second point was what? That there's no contradiction between truly putting your trust in Allah and utilizing the means. And he mentioned several proofs of this particular point. The third point the Shaykh says, and that is, the third point is what? That even though we must utilize the means, we don't depend upon the means. We don't depend upon the means. We utilize the means, but we depend upon Allah. Our heart is not attached to the gun. Yani, I'll say your heart, not ours. Your heart should not be attached to the gun that you are carrying, that will protect you. Because even with that gun, if Allah decrees, and you're going to die. Your heart should be attached to Allah, who is the one who protects the believers. Yani, the gun is an instrument, a tool that a person can use for whatever, yani, it's designed for. But our heart is not attached to the means, but our heart must be attached to Allah. The Shaykh says here what? وَمَا أَخْذِي الْمَرْءِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ لَا يَعْتَمِدْ عَلَيْهَا بَلْ يَعْتَمِدْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Yani, even though the person utilizes the means to achieve a goal, he does not depend upon those means. Yani, one's heart is not attached to the means. One's heart is not attached to the means. Rather, one must depend totally upon Allah alone. The opposite of this, yani, the people who utilize the means and their heart is attached to the means. The opposite of it is the people who don't utilize any means. They just say, I'm just trusting in Allah. And this is the next point. Yani, the Shaykh says here, وَلَا يُحْمِلْ الْأَخْذِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ ثُمَّ يَزْعَمْ أَنَّهُ مُتَوَكِّلْ وَاللَّهُ قَدَّرَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَالْمُسَبَّبَاتِ. This is the fourth point. The Shaykh says what? That one must not abandon the utilization of the means to achieve the goal. One must not abandon this. And then claim that that's because I'm mutawakkil. I'm putting my trust in Allah. I don't need to utilize means. I don't need to carry provisions on the journey. Yani, Allah will take care of me. The Shaykh is saying what? You cannot abandon the means and then claim that I don't need the means because I'm mutawakkil. Allah will take care of me. This is absolutely wrong. And the proof of that, yani, from the proofs of that, the Shaykh says, وَاللَّهُ قَدْرَ الْأَسْبَابُ وَالْمُسَبَّبَاتِ. Yani, while Allah is the one who decreed, the asbab, the means to achieve the thing that you are abandoning, He's the one who decreed that, and He's the one who decreed the musabbabat, the effect, or the thing, the outcome that you want to get. Yani, if you think that you can get some results without utilizing the means, it's as though you recognize that Allah has decreed the results, but He didn't decree the means to achieve those results. And Allah is the one who decreed both of them, the cause and the effect, the means and the result. Allah decreed all of that. All of that is part of the decree of Allah, and for that reason it's important that a person's understanding of the Qadr of Allah, the divine decree, is such that, yani in terms of this topic of yani tawakkul, a person must understand that everything is decreed by Allah and nothing happens except by the will of Allah. And that includes you doing what you have to do and then the results. Yani the results that may come from that. All of that is from the decree of Allah. Not one side to the exclusion of the other. The Shaykh here quotes from Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah in his book Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikm, and he says, yani Ibn Rajab, he says, وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَصْلٌ فِي التَّوَكُّلِ. This hadith is a foundation, source, for the topic of التوكل. وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي يَسْتَجْلِبْ بِهَا الرِّزْقِ. Yani, and that putting one's trust in Allah is from the greatest of the means through which a person seeks to achieve their sustenance. Putting one's trust in Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 2nd and 3rd Ayat, or the end of the 2nd Ayat and the beginning of the 3rd Ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيُرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. That whoever observes taqwa of Allah, and whoever has taqwa of Allah, meaning that they fulfill the commands of Allah and they avoid the prohibitions of Allah. Whoever does that, then Allah will make a way out for them from every situation or difficulty that they are in. And Allah will provide for them from where they didn't imagine it. So the Shaykh Ibn Rajab, Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, is saying here what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. Allah will suffice them. He will take care of their needs. And then the Shaykh yani skips some of what Ibn Rajab mentions. His yani discussion is detailed. And he goes to the end of what he said. And this is the end of the explanation. Shaykh Abdul Muslim's explanation. And this is the fifth point. The fifth point yani of this explanation of the Shaykh Abdul Muslim Al-Abad, Hafidhullah. He says, and Ibn Rajab rahimahullah goes on to say, وَحَقِيقَةُ التَّوَكُّلِ. Here he explains what is the reality of التَّوَكُّلِ. The reality of التَّوَكُّلِ. And this is very, very important. وَحَقِيقَةُ التَّوَكُّلِ هُوَ صِدْقِ اِعْتِمَادِ الْقَلْبِ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي اسْتِجْلَابِ الْمَصَالِحِ وَدَفَعَ الْمَضَارِ مِنْ أُمُورِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ كُلِّهَا. Yani three things he mentions. This is the first of them. The reality of a tawakkul, and whoever wants to know really what is tawakkul, its reality is number one. That a person has sincere, truthful dependence. The heart has true dependence upon Allah. Sidq i'timad al-qalb. Yani that this tawakkul ala Allah means the heart has to be sincere. The heart has to be truthful in its dependence, its reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in seeking to get anything that is of benefit and to repulse anything that is harmful from the affairs of this world and the affairs of the next life, all of them. Yani the heart being sincere in its dependence upon Allah to bring about every good that is desired and to repulse every harm, whether it is from the affairs of this world or the next life. Everything in this world and the next life that a person is desirous of achieving or repulsing, the heart has to have sincere dependence upon Allah alone. Second point, he says, وَقِيلَةُ الْأُمُورَ كُلِّهَا إِلَيْهِ. And that a person turns over, surrenders all of their affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that a person, yani, turns over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their affair. Yani they leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, this is, he's saying, this is the reality of tawakkul, which means that along with the tawakkul, there's also al-akhz bil-asbab. Yani that a person is going to utilize the means. But the point is that I'm surrendering my affair to Allah. I'm not going to my mother or my father or my sister or my brother or my sheikh or my teacher or the president or the mayor, but rather I surrender this affair to Allah. Every affair, surrendering it all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third thing he says, and this is the end of his explanation of the haqiqah of tawakkul, he said, تحقيق الإيمان بأنه لا يعطي ولا يمنع ولا يضر ولا ينفع سواه. Yani, that a person realizes, actualizes, not theory, philosophy, but in reality, تحقيق الإيمان. A person has real iman in the fact that there's no one who gives and no one who withholds and no one who causes harm and no one who brings benefit except Allah. A person has to have this reality. Yani, they have to have real iman of this fact that there's no one who gives and no one who withholds and no one who harms or benefits. And this is contained in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a dua that is essential for every Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, اللهم لا مانع لما عطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم لا مانع لما عطيت. There's no one, oh Allah, there's no one who can hold back that which you give. If Allah wants to give you something, nobody can stop it. No one, no thing in existence. When Allah gives you something, no one can stop it. And when Allah withholds something, no one can give it to you. No matter how much love they have for you, no matter how much power they have, when Allah withholds something, nobody can give it to you. وَلَا يَنْفَوْ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. And no person who possesses jed, who possesses power, honor, whatever, no person who possesses that, it will not benefit them against Allah. No person will get any benefit from whatever they possess against Allah. And because Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, and nobody can do other than what Allah wills. So this fifth point is what? That the reality of tawakkul is that a person has, their heart has sincere dependence upon Allah to bring about any good and to repulse any harm in this world and in the next life. And also to surrender one's affairs, all of them, to Allah alone, and to actualize, to realize the iman in the fact that there's no one who gives and no one who withholds and no one who harms and no one who benefits to the end of that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. And then he mentions, مَمَّا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. From the benefits of this hadith, he mentions two things, yani, that are the obvious points of this hadith. Yani, number one, وُجُوبَ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَالْإِعْتِمَادَ عَلَيْهِ فِي جَلْبِ كُلِّ مَطْلُوبِ وَدَفْعِ كُلِّ مَرْحُوبِ. Yani, the obligation of a person putting their trust in Allah and depending upon Him to bring about, to acquire everything that is desired, and to repulse everything that is feared. Number two, الأخذ بالأسباب ما التوكل على الله وذلك لا ينافي التوكل. Yani, that a person, from this hadith we understand the yani necessity of utilizing the means along with putting one's trust in Allah, and there's no contradiction between these two things. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Salih al-Dahesh, his explanation is a little bit lengthy. I'm going to summarize some of it, any of the main points that he makes. I'll try to summarize them. And his explanation, he hasn't yani numbered it with points, but I have numbered it to 8 points. 8 points that the Shaykh makes, and I'm going to summarize some of them, and I'm going to yani mention some of them exactly as he mentioned them. So he says, the first point, and of course these are my numbers, is the definition of tawakkul. وَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ حَثُّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى التَّوَكُّلِ. يعني التوكل على الله. والتوكل على الله معناه الاعتماد على الله مع بذل الأسباب. يعني in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged us to have tawakkul على الله. And by the way, some of the scholars said that a tawakkul ala Allah is wajib all the time on every Muslim. And a tawakkul ala Allah is a shart, a condition for the validity of iman. And that a person cannot have iman without having tawakkul ala Allah. So the Shaykh, he says here that the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged us in this hadith to have tawakkul ala Allah, And the meaning of that tawakkul is that a person depends, relies upon Allah along with utilizing the means, yani to achieve the goal. The second point, the second point that the Shaykh makes in all of this, yani this, the rest of the topic is about yani the combination of depending upon Allah and utilizing the means. So the second point that the Shaykh makes is that a tawakkul is a type of ibadah that's in the heart. Ibadah qalbiyya. He says that this dependence upon Allah, where does it take place? Is it in the heart or in the limbs of the body? He said, it is in the heart. Yani, at-tawakkul is an ibadah qalbiyya. It is an act of worship of the heart, that a person's heart is dependent upon Allah, and along with that, a person also utilizes the means. Meaning, that the actual tawakkul is in the heart. And then the limbs of the body, a person uses their hands, their feet to go someplace or whatever, yani that is accompanying the tawakkul ala Allah. But the tawakkul is actually an action of the heart. And that's why some of the scholars said that it's not proper to say, I put my trust in Allah and then you. Yani after Allah, I trust you. No, tawakkul is a ibadah qalbiyya, it's only for Allah. It's not for any human being. Not along with Allah, after Allah, or in any other way. The Shaykh, he says here, that a person depends upon Allah in terms of earning their sustenance. Because Allah is the provider. And whatever comes to a person at the hands of other people, then those people are only a wasita. They are only the medium, the in-between. Actually, the sustenance, the good, whatever a person receives, it is really from Allah. And therefore, the person at whose hands you receive it, yani is just the medium between you and Allah. They are no more than that. The person puts their trust in Allah, and then they utilize the means to achieve the goal, and they, yani, depend upon Allah, yani to make the means that they use be effective. So they put their trust in Allah, he says, for example, a person's safety, in their self, in their land, in their children, and other than that, they depend upon Allah first and foremost, yani, for safety or other than that. The Shaykh says, so tawakkul ala Allah must be accompanied by utilizing the means. Yani, it is a necessity that one utilize the means. Because if a person didn't utilize the means, he said, this is not called tawakkul. This is called tawakkul. Tawakkul. Yani, tafriq. It means that if a person doesn't utilize the means, it means that what? That they have just neglected. They are indifferent. They have abandoned their own yani goal because they are not doing anything. So tawakkul actually requires that a person actually has to do something. The next point that the Shaykh makes, which as he goes on, is to mention that the asbab, the means that a person used to achieve a goal, are different depending on what a person is trying to achieve. So he says here, if it is said, what are the means that a person has to utilize in order to achieve a goal? He said, we say that those means differ depending on what it is that a person is trying to achieve. So your dependence upon Allah in terms of your sustenance, your provisions, the means to achieve it is you exerting yourself. It is you engaging in trade or business and so on, or whatever is similar to that. You doing something to achieve that, yani, the provisions. Depending upon Allah, in reference to your children, having children, what are the means? Az-zawaj al-shar'i. Yani, the means to have children is that a person has a legal, legitimate Islamic marriage. Even, utilizing the means will differ according to what it is that a person is trying to achieve. And then along with that, of course, obviously, yani one's heart is dependent upon Allah alone. The fourth point that the Shaykh makes is the first line of this hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكَّلِهِ. Yani, if you were to depend upon Allah in the way that He deserves, دَلَّ هَذَا عَلَى أَنَّ التَّوَكُّلْ دَرَجَاتِ. Yani, this is the point that the Shaykh brings out here, which is very, very important. This statement, depending upon Allah in the way that He deserves, is an indication that a tawakkul is not the same for every person. But tawakkul has degrees. Some people have a higher degree and some people have a lesser degree of tawakkul ala Allah. It's not all the same. Where did we get this? We got it from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, haqqa tawakkuli. Yani that indicates, that statement indicates what? That the people putting their trust in Allah is not going to all be the same. Some people might put their trust in Allah fully in the way that Allah deserves, and some people might trust in Allah less than that. This indicates, he said, dalla ala anna tawakkul darajat wa hadha huwa sahih anna tawakkul kal iman wal yaqeen darajat yakhtalifu an-nas fi tahsil hadha. Yani that this statement is an indication that putting one's trust in Allah has levels or degrees. This is what is correct. That a tawakkul is like iman and yaqeen. Yani it is, there are levels of iman. Some people's iman higher than others. Some people's certainty is higher than others, or less, and the opposite, and so on. He said likewise, tawakkul, yani the people differ in terms of what they achieve of this tawakkul in the same way that the people differ in terms of the level of their iman and their yaqeen. The fifth point the Shaykh makes is the second sentence from this hadith, La razaqukum kama yarzuqu at-tayr. Yani that if you were to put your trust in Allah the way that He deserves, then He would definitely provide for you in the way that He provides for the birds. The Shaykh says, this means that if you achieve this level, yani, of tawakkul, that like Allah deserves, then He would have provided for you the way He provides for the birds. This indicates to us that the birds, at tayr, عندها توكل على الله عز وجل والاعتماد وعندها بذل الأسباب. Yani this indicates that birds, they have trust in Allah and dependence upon Allah, and that they also utilize the means to achieve the goal. And that they also utilize the means to achieve the goal. You say, where do we get this from? We get this from the statement in the last part of the hadith about the birds, تغدو خماسا وتروه بطانا, that the birds go out early in the morning with their stomachs empty, and they return in the end of the day with their stomachs full. This is their sa'i. This is the effort that they make, and this is their utilizing the means, that they go out from their places, from their nest, early in the morning. Yani tadhhab awwal nahar. Yani the beginning of the day, they go straight out. Wa taruhu yani tarji' akhir an-nahar. And then they come back at the end of the day. This is an indication what? That that the birds have all of these things that the Prophet ﷺ is making a comparison with us with. Yani just like we have to have dependence and reliance upon Allah and trust in Allah, and we also have to utilize the means, it's just like the birds. They also have dependence and reliance upon Allah, and they utilize the means. They go out in the beginning of the day and come back at the end of the day, yani to get that which they are in need of. He said that if you were to depend upon Allah the way He deserves, yani, then He would feed you just like, He would take care of you just like He takes care of the birds. Then the Shaykh has some lengthy discussion here. There are three more points that he makes. I'm going to summarize them. He says, the meaning of tarahu khimasan, yani that they go out, come back, yani with their, they go out with their stomachs, yani empty. He said, it means that they go out in the beginning of the day and they don't have anything in their stomachs. And then they return at the end of the day and their stomachs are full. Who is it that provides for them? It is Allah. It is Allah. However, the birds didn't sit in their place, in their nest, waiting for Allah to provide for them. Rather, they put their trust in Allah and then they went out and utilized the means to gather that which they were in need of. And likewise, it's the same way that the human being must put their trust in Allah, and they must also utilize the means. The next point the Shaykh says is that في هذا التشبيه من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إشارة إلى أهمية بذل السبب. This is a very important point. And in this tashbih, yani this similarity or simile or comparison or resemblance that the Prophet ﷺ has made in reference to the resemblance between the human being and the bird, he said, in it is an indication of the importance of a person utilizing the means. Yani this example that the Prophet ﷺ gave here gives us an indication that it is important to utilize the means. And that's because he has compared or likened the human being to an animal that actually goes out and does something. Yani it goes out of its place in the beginning of the day and it returns in the evening. And this, he said, may be the reason, and Allah knows best, why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this particular example. Yani it is an example of tawakkul, and it's also an example of utilizing the means. And that is because the birds, he said, لِأَنَّ هَذِهَ الطُّيُورَ مَا أَتَاهَا رِزْقُهَا إِلَّا بِبَذْلِهَا لِلسَّبَبِ. Yani the sustenance for that bird didn't come to it, except that it had to go out and do something. It had to utilize the means to achieve, to receive, to acquire their sustenance by the permission of Allah, who is the real provider. After this, the Shaykh makes another point. He says, reflect upon this example. This comparison, this tashbih of the Prophet ﷺ comparing the human being to the bird, when he said, كَمَا يَرَزُقُ الطَّيْرُ. Yani he will provide for you just like he provides for the birds. Just like he provides for the birds. مَا أَنَّ الْأَشْيَاءَ الَّتِي يَرْزُقُهَا اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا أَلَيْسِ كَذَلِكَ فَهُوَ يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ وَهُوَ يَرْزُقُ الْحَيَوَانَاتِ وَيَرْزُقُ الْحَشَرَاتِ وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ وَلَكِنْ السِّرُ وَاللَّهُ عَالَمُ بِأَنَّهُ شَبَّهَ الْإِنسَانَ فِي طَلْبِهِ الرِّزْقِ بِالطَّيْرِ لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَعْنَفُ مِنْ تَشْبِيهِهِ بِالطَّيْرِ. Yani the Shaykh is saying here that reflect upon this comparison, this tashbih, this example that the Prophet ﷺ has gave for the human being. He said, yani with the bird, he said, just as he provides for the bird, even though, he used the bird as an example, even though Allah provides for many things, for everything in the creation. He provides for the birds, he provides for other animals, he provides for pests and insects, and whatever is like that. But the reason behind Allah using the bird in this example is because, yani in comparison to the human being, in seeking his sustenance to the birds, is because the human being will not have any disdain or any dislike or any rejection of being compared to the bird. Pay attention to this, yani the Shaykh says, this mas'ala balaghiyya, yani meaning the use of yani some style of expression. Yani here, tashbih. The Prophet ﷺ is using this yani manner of expressing what he wants to say by making comparison between the human being seeking his sustenance and the bird seeking his sustenance. He said the human being would not reject or scorn upon being compared to the bird. Rather, perhaps some human beings sometimes might wish that they were like a bird flying in the sky. And this may be the reason for this comparison, and Allah knows best, with the bird. And that is because, no doubt, Allah provides for every animal, but yet he mentioned here, of all the creatures in the universe that he provides for, he mentioned the bird, and he said that is perhaps because, yani, the human being wouldn't have any dislike for being compared to the bird, whereas, yani, he might dislike, yani, being compared to other animals. And the Shaykh didn't say this, but I'm saying just for clarity of his statement, like if the human being was compared to a pig, or a dog, or a donkey. And a human being might not like that kind of comparison. But the bird, he says, is acceptable. A human being can accept that. He doesn't have any problem being compared to the bird. Naam. So this, he said, is look at how the Prophet ﷺ is using this kind of comparison and the selection of what he uses in the example, knowing that this, yani kind of comparison would be acceptable to the human being as opposed to being compared to something else that the human being would reject and disdain and look upon with scorn to be compared with something else. He said that if, yani, the Prophet ﷺ has said he would provide for you like he provides for the pest, yani the roaches and other pest insects, he said, I think that the human being, yani the nafs of the human being would reject this. And for this reason, it is mentioned that a human being, if he wants to anger his wife, this is for the people who are married, the Shaykh is saying, if a human being, it is mentioned that if a man wants to anger his wife, he might say, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَقِي وَخَلَقَ الْبَقْرَ وَاحِدٌ. Yani if a man wanted to anger his wife, he may say that the one who created you and the one who created the cow is one. Like comparing her to a cow. He said this, فهي تغضب من هذا ما أنه حقيقة. يعني she will become angry about this even though it's true. Even though it's true. ولكن in this context, يعني it's something that, يعني even though it's a reality that a person, that would annoy a person, would anger a person. And then the Shaykh says, that which made me laugh, I don't know if it'll make you laugh, but I definitely laughed when I read this. The Shaykh said, وَهِيَ, that woman who you said that to, لَوْ كَانَتْ ذَكِيَّةٌ لَقَالَتْ نَعَمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي وَخَلَقَكَ وَخَلَقَ الْبَقْرَ وَاحِدَ وَهُوَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yeah, the one who created me and who created you and the cow is the same one. Now, she will just bring it right back to you. And the point here is the Shaykh is saying what, that when you make a comparison, when you use this kind of expression in expressing yourself, that you should use that thing which the human being would not look down upon or scorn upon or reject or find difficulty with. And then finally the Shaykh says, another point that we can consider here is that some of the people said that this comparison with the birds also contains something else, in which the birds are similar to the human being, and that is from the perspective of giving care to the young and feeding them. The human being gives care to their babies and they feed them. And likewise, the birds also give care to the young and they feed them. And this is something that is seen, that is witnessed, as opposed to some other animals that don't have this characteristic that the birds have, yani of going out and bringing back food for their young and even feeding them little bits and pieces at a time, taking care of them. He said, and this is yani something that is similar between the birds and the human beings. We still have a few minutes remaining, and that's the end of what yani the Shaykh said. And I'm going to try to yani as much as possible stick right to the text of what I wanted to mention here from benefits. Yani this topic of tawakkul is a big topic, and 1 hour is not sufficient to cover its importance and the various aspects or angles that it needs to be covered from. Last year, I don't know when it was, but at some point in the past, we did cover this topic in detail from the book At-Tawakkul by Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, and we did that course in, I don't know, a few months, 3 or 4 months, and in 12 or 15 or 16 sessions. From the notes from that class that I want to share with you is number one, yani four things. The first thing is a definition of a tawakkul from Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. He says the reality of a tawakkul. And the reason why I want to mention this definition, because he mentioned something here that we didn't discuss tonight, and it's very, very important, and that is that tawakkul is not only dependence upon Allah, but it's also having trust and faith and confidence in Allah, and it's also related to one's knowledge of Allah, due to which a person depends upon him and has trust in him. So the Shaykh, he says, the reality of a tawakkul ala Allah, أن يعلم العبد أن الأمر كله لله وأنه ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن وأنه هو النافع والدار والمعطي والمانع وأنه لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And the Shaykh says the reality of tawakkul is that a person knows, that the human being knows, that all affairs are in the hands of Allah, that Allah is in control of everything. Knowing this is a very important part of tawakkul. How does a person put their trust in Allah and they don't know Allah? But when a person knows that every affair is with Allah, and that whatever he wills is going to be, and whatever he doesn't will is not going to be, and he is the one who benefits, and he is the one who harms, and he is the one who gives, and he is the one who withholds, and there's no power and no might except with Allah, knowledge is very, very important. And then the Shaykh says, yani, so based upon this knowledge, the person's heart becomes dependent upon their Rabb to achieve the beneficial things in their worldly life and in their deen, and to repulse harms. And then he said, وَيَثِقْ غَايَةِ الْوُثُوقِ بِرَبِّهِ فِي حُصُولِ مَتْلُوبِهِ. Yani a person's heart is dependent upon Allah to bring about good and to repulse harm. And the person has the utmost confidence in their Rabb to achieve the matlub, what they are seeking. Yani a person puts their trust in Allah, and they must also be confident that it is Allah alone who can make the thing that you are seeking really happen. And then he says, and along with this, the person has to extend their self. Yani, they have to expend their energy and their effort in, yani, utilizing the beneficial means. The second point that I want to mention quickly, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, in his book Tawakkul that we studied previously, he mentions from the fruits of a tawakkul. And I'm just going to mention them in brief because of the time. He says, from the fruits of a tawakkul, and there are many, the greatest fruit of a tawakkul is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice a person whatever their concerns are. And He will suffice them from everything that they fear. Allah will protect them. And He says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Yani, whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will suffice them. Meaning, the greatest fruit of tawakkul is that Allah will take care of your affairs. He said also, from the benefits or the fruits of a tawakkul is istijlab mahabbatillah. That this is the tawakkul, from the fruits of a tawakkul, is that it is a means of achieving, obtaining the love of Allah. That a person who has tawakkul will achieve the love of Allah. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ Surah Ali Imran, yani that indeed Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. So whoever puts their trust in Allah, with real trust in Allah, then Allah will love them. And if Allah loves them, they will be happy in this world and the next, as being the beloved of Allah and the awliya of Allah. The third benefit of at-tawakkul that the Shaykh mentions is that al-insan yuqdimu ala fi'l ma yanfa'u wa la yuhab wa la yukhaf illa min Allah. He said that another benefit of tawakkul is that a person will hasten to go forward to take on any task, yani to do whatever is necessary to benefit themselves, and they wouldn't fear anyone except Allah. And the example he gave is the people who go out in jihad in the way of Allah and dive into the battle. He said they do so because they are those people who have put their trust in Allah. And the fourth benefit that he mentioned, I'll suffice with this one, he says also that putting your trust in Allah makes a person to become more actively engaged in seeking their sustenance, or in seeking knowledge, or in seeking whatever is beneficial in this world. And that is because the people who put their trust in Allah, they will be encouraged in their seeking beneficial things, knowing that Allah is with those who put their trust in Him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant success to those who trust in Him. Two more points, and we're going to close with this. The third point that I want to mention from the benefits of the previous course that we took is, how does a person become a mutawakkil ala Allah? This is extremely important. Like, this is an important thing, tawakkil ala Allah. So how do you reach that level of becoming, yani, dependent upon Allah? So Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he said in that book on tawakkil ala Allah, and by the way, if there's anybody who wasn't with us for that class, I have two or three copies of that book in English, of Tawakkul, yani by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. I have two or three copies of it in English. And after the class, if anybody wasn't here with us for that class and they didn't get that book, you can have a copy of it from what's left. The Sheikh says, how does a person become dependent on Allah? He said, a person, يَكُونُ الْإِنسَانِ مُتَوَكِّلًا عَلَى اللَّهِ بِأَنْ يَصْدُقَ الْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى رَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَيْثُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُدَبِّرُ الْأُمُورِ. He said that a person becomes mutawakkil ala Allah when they are truthful and sincere in depending upon their Rabb, based on, due to the fact that they know that every good is in the hands of Allah, and He is the one who controls all affairs. And again, this comes back to what? Knowledge. A person knows that all good is in the hands of Allah. A person knows that Allah is the one who controls all affairs. And therefore, yani, they become sincere in their trust upon Allah. The Shaykh also mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he mentions that if, he said, no, and this is also knowledge, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لَوْ اِجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا يعني قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Yani that if the whole of the people, yani all people came together to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah had already decreed for you. But the Prophet ﷺ Yani began the statement by saying, wa'alam, know, yani knowledge. When a person knows that the whole world cannot come together and benefit you with anything except what Allah decreed for you. And likewise, the whole world cannot come together to harm you in any way except with what Allah had decreed. Because Allah is the one who controls the whole affair. And the last thing that we're going to mention is extremely important. What are the asbab? Yani al-asbab al-mu'ina. The things that a person can do that will help them to make their heart to be attached to Allah. And we're going to close with this. This is the most important affair. How does a person's heart become attached to Allah? Shaykh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He mentioned 6 things. And these are not the only things, but these are 6 of the most important things. I'm going to mention them in the order that he mentioned them. He said, asbab al-mu'inatu ala ta'aliq al-qalb billahi, yani the means of, yani that will help a person for their heart to be attached to Allah, hiya, the first one, al-iktharu min tilawati al-Qur'an al-Kareem. That a person, yani increase their recitation of the Noble Qur'an. And al-iktharu, that a person recites the Qur'an a lot. This will make a person's heart be connected to Allah. Number 2, he said, وَتَذَكُّرُ نِعْمَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That a person remembers and reminds themselves of the favors of Allah. Yani that a person enumerates and thinks about and reflects on and remembers all of the favors of Allah. The worldly things and the things in your deen that Allah has given you. That He guided you to Islam. That He guided you to Iman. That He guided you to the Sunnah. That He gave you the ability to act upon the Islam that you know, where there are lots of Muslims all over the world who are Muslims but are not practicing Islam. All of these are from the favors of Allah, in addition to our food and our clothing and our housing and our wives and our children and all the other bounties of Allah. This is what will attach a person's heart to Allah, remembering the ni'm of Allah. The third and fourth thing he said, وَالْخَوْفْ مِنْ إِقَابِ اللَّهِ وَالْتَمَعُ فِي ثَوَابِهِ. That a person has fear of the punishment of Allah and that they have hope of His reward. Number 5, al-ikthar min dhikri Allah. That a person remember Allah a lot. That a person is constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And by the way, the next and last hadith is going to be about this topic, the remembrance of Allah. And the 6th point he said, وَالنَّظَرُ فِي آيَاتِهِ الْقَوْنِيَةِ وَالتَّفَكُّرُ فِيهَا. That a person considers the signs of Allah in the universe, the things around us in the universe, and that a person reflect, that they ponder, that they contemplate on these, yani ayat, al-kawniyah, the things that are in the universe. And this is also, yani it shows the power of Allah. It shows the wisdom of Allah. It shows the precision of Allah. It shows the mercy of Allah, the generosity of Allah. When we look at everything that's happening in the world around us, Sheikh Salih, Ali Sheikh, and this is my closing comment, he refers to this point about reflecting on the things in the universe. He says that التوكل على الله يرجع إلى فهم التوحيد الربوبية وإلى عظم الإيمان بتوحيد الربوبية. That توكل على الله goes back to a person's understanding of توحيد الربوبية, yani of Allah's rububiyyah, that He is the Rabb of everything in the universe and everything that's happening in the universe. And He's the one who's controlling all of it and making it happen. That a person who understands that, understands Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And it also goes back to the greatness of a person's iman in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. That a person has iman in that. He says that indeed, yani the existence or the establishment, يعني إحداث التوكل في القلب يرجع إلى التأمل في آثار الربوبية. يعني that the existence or the establishment of توكل in the heart goes back to a person reflecting upon, contemplating, considering, examining, inspecting the effects of the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He's the Rabb of everything. And He's the creator, the controller, the one who provides, who gives life and death. And He's the master of the affair. فَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدِ أَكْثَرَ تَأَمُّلًا فِي مَلَقُوتِ اللَّهِ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْأَنْفِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ كَانَ عِلْمُهُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ ذو الملكوت وأنه هو المتصرف وأن نصره لعبده شيء يسير جدا بالنسبة إلى ما يجريه الله يعني في الخلق في الملكوت فيعظم المؤمن بهذه التدبر الله يعني يعظم المؤمن يعظم الله بهذه التدبر ويعظم التوكل عليه يعني that the more a person reflects upon the universe the heavens and the earth and yourselves and everything that's in it the greater will be that person's knowledge of Allah and that Allah is the one who owns all of this and he is the one who controls all of this and that his helping the created being the human being Allah's helping the human being is something that is extremely easy in comparison to everything that Allah is making happen in this universe helping you with your little needs is very easy for the one who's controlling everything in the universe so the believer he magnifies by this tadabbur by reflecting upon everything that Allah is controlling in the universe he magnifies Allah by this And as such, he increases and magnifies his tawakkul ala Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We went a few minutes over. Allahumma musta'an. If there's anybody wants to remind us of something, correction or something that we said, please do so at this point before we close out. And then we'll have some refreshments. طيب بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا